got my dice and I got my friends. We're going on a quiz that never ends. You know when there is trouble abound, me and my crew will always be around. Ladies and gentlemen, I am the Lone Gunman, and it's time for the Gamers Haven Podcast with your hosts, Ethan, Jeremy, and Nathan.
Welcome back to the Gamers Haven Podcast. I am one of your intrepid hosts, Ethan. I am here with Nathan and Jeremy, although Jeremy is a little disembodied today. Jeremy is not Skyping in, but Google talking in.
So he is a ghost in the machine. So
essentially, work's been kicking his butt lately, so he's taking some downtime and calling in for this one. So it's all good.
Yeah, he's phoning it in. He's doing what I normally do at every show.
Yes, exactly.
So
Jeremy, you just take it easy, relax, and yeah.
Make random comments like always.
Yes. Except you're not here, so it's disembodied
random comments.
Yes. This episode is our big, the CantCon show, or the pre-CantCon show. We're gonna sort of do our best to sort of talk about what's going on at CantCon and give a couple shout outs as far as people who have donated a lot of time and supported us in the endeavor to raise money and get the con off the ground this year. So that's about all I got for this this intro. But I know at least what's going on for me lately is I'm recovering from horrible sunburn. Got second-degree burns up and down my back that I'm finally getting over. I'm at the peeling stage now, which is oh so tasty. The Schlitterbahn Water Park in Kansas City is definitely a lot of fun.
That's awesome to hear. I've been doing work.
Oh.
Yeah.
You guys have been working.
Yeah. I have a 40-hour-a-week job now.
How does it feel?
I feel tired.
Yeah.
There's no other way to say it. It's like I'm excited with the fact that I'm actually finally contributing financially to our home and my marriage. But now when I get home, I understand why she doesn't want to do anything. You get home, it's like, I have been on my feet for almost 9 hours. You know what? I think I'm just going to sit here on the couch with my book and read and listen to the TV in the background.
Yeah.
What's that? Go out to eat? No, I'm good. I think I'll go without dinner tonight. I don't want to move.
I think Jeremy can sympathize with that.
Yeah. And my job's not exactly 8 to 5 either.
No.
I was out until I got home at 8:30 last night. Yeah. Yeah, I was out and client had to have something done after everybody left at 5 and it was a disaster.
I do have some news on the family front at least. Actually, good. It's all good news, and some of it's job related. My mother is taking a teaching position at the University of Kansas Medical Center.
Too much metal for one hand.
Which is awesome because that's what she wants to do. She'll be teaching in their nurse practitioner, nurse midwife program out there.
And she'll be the best teacher have.
Oh yeah. Well,
hands
down. She was interviewing for it, and she knew most of the people in the program. She's one of the first people to graduate from the program when it started, and it's like, my mother's got 30 years of nursing experience and all this, and it's like they would be dumb not to hire her. So, and obviously the day after her interview, her interviewer called her up because she knows her and said, "I'm unofficially offering you this job. You'll get the official contract next week." but yeah, we want you obviously. Yeah.
And she said, "We would be dumb not to offer you this job."
Yes. I can't really go into too many specifics, but long story short, Eric and Eunice are moving back to Kansas City.
Awesome.
Yes. Eric's dream job ended up being not what he was wanting.
Did his dream job turn into a nightmare?
It did. I can't go into specifics on the air. But
you hear about that happening so often. It's just disappointing. It's like, you find the job that you've always wanted, and it's not what you expected it to be.
The cool thing is he called up, he ended up calling up Garmin and said, hey, you know, this isn't what I wanted. I was hoping I could put in an application with you guys again. And his old boss was like, when can you start? And not only is he getting his old, he's not getting his old job back, he's actually getting, they're giving him a different position with higher pay, and they're paying up to $5,000 to move him back. So in essence, they're like, yeah, we really like you and want you back.
Yeah,
so,
Garmin doesn't screw around.
When he finds an employee, they want
to
keep.
So thumbs up to Garmin, thumbs down to the other place. Anyway.
Freaking hardball.
Yeah. So it's cool. Eric is moving back to the area.
Which
That's
is awesome.
Be a lot of fun.
Because Eric is a very cool guy.
Which game-wise means he should be rejoining the Superheroes game, theoretically. Depends on how horrible work is for him, but hey. That's what, I guess that's really what we've got going on. Jeremy is just working his butt off otherwise. And
yeah, pretty much.
Alrighty, well, we will be back right after this.
Noble Knight Games has been serving the needs of thousands of gamers worldwide since 1997. A huge selection of over 30,000 unique products, including discounts on most in-print games of up to 50% off or more. Noble Knight Games is the place for out-of-print RPGs, board games, war games, collectible card games, miniatures, and all things game-related. They ship worldwide and will purchase or trade your titles you no longer need, new, or used. Your satisfaction is guaranteed. Just visit www.noblenight.com or visit our website for direct access to thousands of new, out-of-print, and in some cases, one-of-a-kind items.
This is the Vorpal Network.
And we are back, and as we said in the intro, today we're doing our pre-CantCon show, and really we're just going to be talking a bit about what's going on with us at CantCon, a bit about what CantCon's all about, that sort of thing. For those who don't know, who haven't listened to the show in the last 83 episodes, CantCon is a game convention that I started up in 2009 because I couldn't go to Gen Con. Gen Con, I would have been my about, I believe, 13th year going.
14th, would have been 14th.
13th or 14th, something like
14th.
That. 14th. I've kind of lost track.
Because it would have been my 13th, and I started going the year after year.
It was the first, yeah, it was the first year, first time in 13 years that I had not been able to go. And so I just determined in my own insane way to just have my own little convention with my friends, ironically, at Jeremy's house. Jeremy and Robin were kind enough to let us use their house as the first site for CantCon 09. And it went real well, and then opened it up to the public last year in 2010, and basically in the first year we had, in 2009, we had about 25, 30 people come to the con over the course of the weekend, and then last year it opened it up to the public and had 110 people. As of today, we're sitting on pre-registrations at exactly 99. People pre-registered, which is
frickin' sweet.
About 25 more than we were sitting at
last
this
year.
Point. Last year, yeah. So far, it's huge success. We opened up into more space at the Johnson County Community College Regnier Center.
Yeah, they've been awesome.
Yeah, we opened up into their full Capitol Federal Conference Room space that they have available, and we have. The same vendors are coming back from last year, plus Silver Griffin Games is going to come out, and we also got a miniature sponsor. Eureka Miniatures is sponsoring the Paint and Take this year.
Yeah, all I have to say is Nazis Unraptors.
Yes, Nazis Unraptors. Although they didn't send us the Nazis Unraptors, they still offer Nazis Unraptors.
Yes,
pretty awesome.
Which is really awesome.
They have the Samurai Frogs, or no, Samurai Rabbits.
Yep, Usagis.
Yes. Yes, they sent us Samurai Rabbits and some World War II guys, but they also sent us
some Frogmen. Frogmen, yeah.
I think that was it though.
Yeah, Froglatch Warriors or something like that.
It's pretty awesome though. They sent us that stuff. I know Nick is our swag master. Has been kind of beating himself up this year about not being able to get as much stuff, but we sort of smacked him upside the head and told him he's done very, very well. So. As with the thing with CantCon is we give away lots of stuff, and we gave away about $2,000 worth of stuff the first year, about $2,500 the second year, and it's looking to be about the same this year. So doing good. So I know, as far as I'm concerned, for CampCon, one of the ironic things about it that sort of evolved from the CampCon thing is because it's I've incorporated it, Gamers Haven, as a business and all this. Whereas CampCon came out of me not being able to go to Gen Con, it is now the case this year that I would not be able to go to Gen Con if not for CampCon. So it's kind of a fun turnaround on that. So
Because of CampCon,
I can go to Gen Con, yes.
Awesome. Well, we need someone at Gen Con, and there's no way I could get off work for it.
Yeah.
But we need someone there because we need someone to do all the interviews and stuff, so.
Yep. I haven't had a chance to set up any, but I fully intend to corner people as best I can and, you know, lounge about the Green Ronin booth as much as possible.
Because they are awesome.
Yeah, they are.
And there's some other really awesome companies out there, too, like the company that does Savage Worlds.
Oh, yeah, Pinnacle.
Pinnacle
Entertainment Group.
Yes.
They do a really few good. Great, awesome things.
Just a few.
Yeah, just a few, like almost everything they put out. But anyway. But this year at CantCon, obviously doing fairly well. We had an actual planning committee. I learned how to I've learned the wonderful art of delegation and have delegated lots of duties to other people. Which means I'm not pulling my hair out like I was this time last year. The only thing, really, let me talk some swag. We have generated, basically, we generated close to about $5,000 worth of basically revenue to get this con off the ground this year.
How much did we generate?
It was about $5,000.
Yeah, and we bought lots of cool stuff.
Yeah, we're using that to, of course, give back to the attendees, give back to the gaming community around here. We're going to have some CantCon beer mugs made that are about a pint size beer mugs.
16 ounces.
Yeah, just about. Yeah. I think they're 15.8 or
yeah,
something.
They are awesome.
They're
awesome.
Pretty much
awesome.
They're the exact size for a can of Coke. They're great for a can of pop.
A can of pop and some ice.
Yeah. But we're going to have some of those really cool, those mugs are awesome. We, of course, are going to have the usual CantCon D6 as we had the first year and the second year from Chessex. I actually have that die. I didn't bring it with me, but they are very nice. I've also, haven't gotten them in yet, but I have confirmed with them that they're on the way and I should get them in time. We're going to have a special pre-registration D6 made by the Dice Creator blog, which is a guy out in Spain, and he actually hand makes all these dice, and he did 100 dice for us that are the Jabberglook mood dice.
And they're all made.
Yes. All handmade, and actually he emailed me about a month ago saying that it was taking longer than he expected because he basically puts all the dice through a testing process to make sure that they don't fade, they don't, you know, smudge, nothing like that, and some are failing. And he's like, and I'm not sending you failing dice. So so they should be en route as we speak. Actually, they will be en route as of tomorrow. Who's apparently
that's cool. That's cool because I know how many dice that are like promo dice that rub off or.
Yeah,
you know, are just pretty much crap.
Yeah, and these are looking to be good quality stuff. I mean, the stuff on his website looks just fantastic, and we're getting a bunch of those. And those dice are actually just for the people who supported CantCon through the pre-registration process. That's right, I said pre-registration. We actually went and did a sort of a VIP, you know, an option for people to donate more money and pay more to attend CantCon but get more cool stuff through Kickstarter. We did that basically January or so, or February through the end of April. And basically through that, people were able to get a bunch more raffle tickets, a bunch more some dice, some dice bags, shout-outs on the show, which we'll get to later. Interviews as well. Actually, we'll be playing two interviews here in a while from the two people who bought the higher tiers, the $300 tiers for people to support CantCon. We had a $500 tier where people could have permanently tattooed stuff on Tracy's body. Tracy is, of course, rolling 20s on the forums and has become quite a good friend of ours. Came out to CantCon last year. was the Road Warrior last year. He got the Road Warrior Award for traveling the longest distance.
This year?
This year, however, that is going to Mr. Noah Gibbs for flying out from
New York.
New Jersey, actually. New Jersey. So it's in Newark, which is right across
Newark, from, New Jersey.
New York.
So. Anyway, it's still a long ways to fly.
Yep. And so we're hounding one of our listeners on our forums who's actually from Japan that he needs to come next year to up it again. But, you know, that is an 8,000-mile trip and kind of pricey to come just to Kansas City. But, you know, we're like,
come on.
Yeah, was that Jeremy?
Place to stay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd make sure he had a place to stay.
Oh yeah, totally.
I'm setting up the spare bedroom, breaking down all the old crazy computers and stuff, and I'm gonna be moving them out, and putting in the spare bed in there so that Noah has a place to stay, so he doesn't have to pay the exorbitant costs for hotel rooms here.
Oh, he didn't tell you, did he?
I think he's staying with them.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's
don't
what
worry
they told
about
me.
Don't
you guys figure it out. Either way, he'll have a place to stay here. I don't know.
I was under the impression he'd talked to me, and I told him it was all right to stay here.
Yeah, I mean, I had to make a decision. I was like, have you decided? And he goes, well, not yet. And then he said, well, stay there. So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we just need to verify, because if I don't have to clean up the computer room.
I know Robin's getting him from the airport and taking him back. Mm-hmm. So all of my knowledge is secondhand.
Okay. Well, if we can verify where he's staying, that'd be fine.
Either way, he'll have a place to stay.
Yeah, he'll have a place to stay. If he's not going to stay here, that's fine.
And so, yeah, I'm looking forward to finally meeting Noah. I was actually supposed to meet him. I was going to meet him when I went out with Beth to Baltimore over Christmas. But on the day we were going to drive up and meet him in Philadelphia, blizzard hit, and Philadelphia was under 2 feet of snow. It was literally where we were. We got like an inch and a half, but like across the bay in Baltimore, across the bay, it was like 2 feet. So, and we would have had to drive into that. We're like, yeah, we're not going to make it. He's like, yeah, we're kind of snowed in here in Newark anyway. So, yeah, so that didn't happen. But it's cool. He is going to get down here. And I was working with one of our graphic design guy, Jay Carter. Shout out to Jay for the Jabberwock. About making a prize for the Road Warrior, and I won't mention what the prize is. I'll surprise him at it, and I'll tell you guys later if you want me to. But he was like, "Well, we'll have to make something for Tracy, the Road Warrior." And later on, it became apparent that Tracy was not going to be the Road Warrior this time. And Tracy has, of course, been very gracious about losing out on that award.
Yeah, the amount of F-bombs he dropped was epic.
Yes, I told him he just needs to go the long way. Around instead of going
straight,
west,
he just needs to head down south to Florida,
east
and then
take the Alaska route.
Yes,
take the Alaska route
to Anchorage and then come in. Then maybe we'll see. So there's that. Let's see. We got the mugs, the dye. The other cool thing we're gonna have is last year, Becca, excuse me, our wonderful prize mistress, who is now painting up a Pony of the Apocalypse. Which is one of the events running at Gen Con or CanCon. Gosh, I keep doing that. Got cons on the mind, cons on the brain. Our prize mistress here. We had so many great prizes last year that we gave prizes for best players and winners of registered events at CanCon. And so this year, however, we're doing a little differently. We're not doing that. We're actually giving people who win best player or win a registered event, they're actually going to get a custom-made D20 from Q Workshop.
Oh, that's right.
I haven't received it, but it is en route. They emailed me today and said they're FedExing it, expedite it to get it to me before the con. And the other thing they're going to get is the special Jabberwock Drunk card for the Jabberwock card game that we're offering at registration. Everyone who comes and gets a swag bag is going to get an indifferent card. Basically, it's a Jabberwock mood card game that plays sort of like rock, paper, scissors, except you have indifferent, angry, happy, it's, helpful, that sort of thing. And you just play against people, that sort of thing. It's all for fun. You could even use it in your game sort of as you just draw a random card to see how, what is this NPC feeling, or what is their disposition. But the people winning best player or winning a registered event will also get not only that D20, but also get a special card that only they'll get. That's the drunk card for that game. So they're getting those. And so I think it's fun that we're getting actually dice from not only are we getting dice from here in the States, from Chessex, we're also getting dice from Spain and Poland.
That is so freaking cool.
Poland, so.
Yep, and then the gentleman who's making the custom Jabberglock die, he's out of Spain.
He's in Spain, yes. Yes, so we're getting like all transcontinental.
Yep,
you know?
International.
I know, international.
We are international now. How awesome is that? So are we actually going to talk a little bit about what we're planning on doing?
Yeah,
at
that's
the con?
That's actually what. Let's go in right into that. Nathan, what are you? What's your plan?
I'm running three things this year. I actually stepped it back a lot. I ran seven or eight things last year and could not speak for a week.
Registered to run like six, and then you ran two spares.
I ran three spares. I scheduled five, and then ran three spares. I ran eight. I decided that was a bad idea because I ran everything in every slot except for two.
And incidentally, last year we tried to record almost all of the games that went on role-playing-wise for CantCon, and they're in the CantCon feed. What we plan to do that again this year as much as possible. We're not going to get everything, but we're going to do what we can to get as much as we can.
Yeah. So I decided to scale back this year, so I'm running three things. Mm-hmm. And one of them is actually a board game, which I'm going to have to borrow because I don't know if I'm going to be able to pick up a copy before the con.
I'll be bringing all of my board games to the con to supplement.
I will actually be bringing Arkham Horror. That one I will probably want to hold on to the license of the person who leases it or rents it out because there's $400 of board game there.
Yeah.
But no, I will be bringing it so people can play it. And let me tell you, most people will probably be doing this with the open mouth, blank eyed gape as they try to read the manual. That game is horribly complicated.
It's sort of like at Comic Con when people grab one game to look at it and they just look through the rule book for an hour. They're like, this is a really cool game.
But oh my God, is this hard?
Yeah.
So the first thing, if I understand correctly, the first game I am actually running is on Friday. I think it's the one to five slot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm running something on the 9 to 1 slot on Saturday and then the 9 to 1 slot on Sunday. The three things I'm running is I'm running a Savage Worlds game in a custom system that I've been working on with Jeremy and Ethan called, we're just calling it right now, tentatively called of Rockets, Ships, and Spacemen. It's basically a Buck Rogers style Savage Worlds game, a la something like Slipstream, only actually taking place in the full universe. And what it's going to be, what it's called, is Take Me Away to the Rings of Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, it's...
It is running, let me see, it is running Saturday slot 2.
Slot 2. So it's 1 to 5.
2 to 6.
2 to 6. Okay. So, yeah, that game basically, the idea and the premise behind that game is taking the Flash Gordon style thing with ray guns and the various different weapons and making a vast galaxy-based space romp with the effort to get the players who are being chased by bounty hunters and God knows what else to the moon of Titan, of Saturn, to retrieve some precious goods that were in a ship that crashed there.
And we
with competition.
We have played the game. You ran it for the Saturday Night Crew.
And they absolutely destroyed it.
And that hasn't been released as of this episode. We'll release it after CanCon, just so people can have something to compare.
Yeah, I was embarrassed. I am actually naming the ship now.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
after that.
We named the ship Uranus.
Yeah. And not Uranus. They called it Uranus.
Yes.
And they made every single horrible double entendre you could think of to the word Uranus. So I decided I'm naming the ship this time, and it will not be nameable by the players because I cannot have the players coming up with a name like that at a family-friendly con.
And you have
con.
To expect that at a con game, too.
Yeah.
People are going to be jokesters doing that.
The other one, the other role-playing game I'm running is Call of Cthulhu, of course, and it's called The Last Salvation of Miskatonic University.
Yep.
This one takes place at the end of the era of Miskatonic University, which would have been the mid to late 1930s.
And that one sold out quick.
Yeah. Call of Cthulhu always does.
Your Invasion from Outer Space one also is sold out.
Is it really? Sweet. That's going to be awesome.
The Savage Worlds one has three players, so you have two empty spots in that so far.
Okay.
It's probably not going to be a problem.
No, I don't think so.
We learned that quick last year.
But the Last Salvation of Miskatonic University takes place at the end of the era of Miskatonic University. They've had two horribly failed expeditions that are causing serious pressure on the school to actually produce something. Otherwise, it's going to lose all of its funding as an accredited college. And what happened is that there was a failed expedition to Africa and a failed expedition to Antarctica. One person managed to make it back from Antarctica. No one knows what happened in Africa. They just disappeared off the face of the earth. And those are actually based off of short stories. The short story for Antarctica is actually is At the Mountains of Madness.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is the something embargo something. It's not actually an H.P. Lovecraft written short story. It's actually by August Derleth. But the purpose of the Call of Cthulhu game is after the person that managed to make it back is interviewed as much as you can interview an insane person, there's plans for a new expedition to be mounted to Antarctica. There's only one problem. No one's quite exactly sure what's there. No one's quite exactly sure what happened. And on top of that, you have a very short window, because the window of time that you can actually do things in Antarctica before the weather sets in is very, very small. If I remember correctly, it was 3 weeks. So they have 3 weeks, the players in game time have 3 weeks to make it to the expedition's camp, find out what happened, find out what caused what caused whatever happened that only one person made it back, get whatever they can as an object, and get out before the weather sets in and they're stuck there and they die from the weather.
Right.
So it looks to be an interesting game. I haven't started working on the characters yet. I actually planned on doing that tonight. Pretty much you're going to have a main professor and a bunch of students who volunteer, you know, sort of thing. So it's plan on everybody being, you know, college students, and there's not going to be any gung-ho heroes in this game. College students might know, oh, I've shot a pistol a few times.
Right.
Because they're erudites, but they're not going to be like, I know how to wield a rifle, a submachine gun, and a machete. No, don't expect that. It's not going to be that style of game. Very cerebral. Oh, this one is going to be very, very, very much more deadly. I promised that last year, and I didn't actually get around to doing it because the players outsmarted me. This year, if people do the wrong thing, characters are going to die horribly, because it's a harsh environment, and the actual setting of where they're going at, you know, the Mountains of Madness is a very deadly place.
Right.
So it'll be interesting to see, because that's where the great old ones live, the Cthons. And yeah, they don't screw around. And the last thing I'm running, as Ethan already mentioned, is Ethan brought over this unique little board game called Invaders from Outer Space, created by Flying Frog Publishing. And, you know, they're the ones that did A Touch of Evil and The Last Night on Earth, which are both really freaking cool board games. But this is all I have to say about Invaders from Outer Space. JoJo, the Dancing Circus Bear.
Yep.
Enough said. But really, no, actually what it is you
not
play.
Really, that's it. That and Human Cannonball.
Yeah.
The Human Cannonball can launch himself at Martians as a weapon.
Yeah, there are cannons on the map. If you land the Human Cannonball, he starts his turn on the cannonball. Uh-huh. If he has a special token you get, he actually has an ability called Launch Me, and he launches himself into a square. Anything in the square that he hits on a 4+ is killed. There's no save, no nothing, just splat. But JoJo the Dancing Circus Bear is just awesome because it's a dancing circus bear.
Uh-huh.
And when people shoot at him, he has a chance of just dancing away. So I just see this little bear in a pink tutu, like, just, you know, people shoot at him. It's like, doo 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 doo. Because you play circus, you play carnival.
Your carnies. Circus, though.
Yes.
That kind of...
yes, that sort of thing. But it's a great game. If you like Invaders from Outer, if you like Last Night on Earth, if you liked Touch of Evil, you'll love Invaders from Outer Space. And the nice thing is because it doesn't take a lot of time to play, more than likely we'll be able to get in a couple games for the people during the 4-hour session, which will be awesome. because, you know, they'll get a kick out of that, because there's multiple variations of how to play too. And there's the cool one, which is the protect the crowds, where you have to protect the civilians from the aliens. There's all sorts of them.
If you want me to, actually, I can bring a game like over tomorrow. Yeah. So you have it if you want me to.
I'm hoping I'll have enough money when I get my next paycheck, because I get paid on the 30th. Because if I have enough money, I'm actually going to pick up a copy, but I've got a lot of bills to pay. So
imagine that Flying Frog Entertainment actually puts out a good game. Yeah. Oh, wait, we've already done that three times,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So I have three things planned. I will be there all 3 days. I have confirmed I will be working the day after 4th of July when everybody else at my work has it off. Mm-hmm. So that will give me the Friday off. But I will have to have my work phone with me, so I may get a call. Sure. And please, I apologize to anybody who comes to my games if I get a call in the middle of the game, but unfortunately, with my work phone, I have to take it.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm ignoring everybody at the game, it's just work kind of takes precedence, unfortunately. That's the way it works. I mean, if it weren't for the fact that they're letting me to work a day when nobody else is working, when the clients are going to be needing someone there, I wouldn't be able to make it to Friday at all.
And you're not playing anything.
As far as I have
as
not,
as of right now,
I did not sign up for anything.
If you fall into a game, you fall into a game.
Well, the thing is there's always the possibility that I'll just.
I was ordered to play stuff this year. So.
Yeah.
Like upon penalty of being strung up and devoured or something.
And gutted. Yeah, that would not be good. I haven't played in anything except for the Mech Warrior game, Battletech game. The first CantCon.
Mm-hmm.
I did not play in anything last year, actually. I just, I have time available, so I may sit down and play something if someone's
running
something.
I did my best scheduling people not to basically screw them out of certain slots and stuff like that.
I'm working the library table, I think, Sunday for one part. It's like half of
it. You're working it Saturday. You actually have a shift on at the refreshments table on Friday.
Oh, I do?
Yes.
The schedule shifted again. I haven't looked at the latest tentative schedule.
You are actually working all 3 days at some
point. Fine. That's cool. No,
Nathan Pankey, Dr. Nathan, is like going to be, he's like in Korea right now. And we'll be coming back like 2 days before the con, and then we'll be leaving again like 2 days after the con.
Oh my goodness!
So
he's not
basically running stuff, and he's going to be a zombie after a while.
Yeah, poor guy.
So, and some people had to like Jay Allman. He's like going to be out of town.
Yeah, Jason. Yeah, he was mad about that too.
Yeah, I know. I know.
You're the one that got the call.
Yes. But anyway,
I have no problems with that. I thought it was kind of weird when I was looking at the tentative schedule. I'm like, oh, I'm only working once, one day, one like it was like a half. It was like even it wasn't even like a full like slot. It was like half a slot. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'll basically be sending emails out to all the volunteers saying this is when you work. And I'll be sending stuff out to all the juniors to let them know what's just going on. So. Jeremy, what do you got going on at CanCon?
Be playing quite a bit, but also I was going to be running two things, but I only have one person for the one.
Right.
So I decided to just focus all my attention on To Mend a Broken Heart.
Right, and you told us to we went ahead and canceled that other event because you told us to do that.
So. What event was that?
The Savage Worlds. Quest for the Silver Santas and Savage Worlds.
Savage Worlds.
Yeah.
That's a bummer. Because that would have been fun as hell.
Yeah. And that was Melissa that signed up for it. So.
Melissa?
Yes. Scott's wife.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah.
I have three people for the other one so far.
What's the other one he's running?
It's Dungeons & Dragons 4th Edition To Mend a Broken Heart. It's the... We actually have one recorded that has been released. It was his St. Patrick's Day and Valentine's Day one.
Yeah.
Hey, is that conflicting with any of my time slots or volunteer work? So if not, I'll join. I want to play in a 4th ed game that's not
it's run the same slot you're running your game.
Oh. That's what happens a lot of times.
That's okay. It's not like you don't know Jeremy.
Yeah, but I don't always have time to get out there and join them in games. So.
True.
So that's all you're going to be running this year, Jeremy?
That's all I'm going to be running. I joined up for some different things, like not a living dungeon, but something different.
Let me load it up real quick. I can see what you signed up for. It'll be okay. Jeremy, I've got you down for the AD&D Terror in Telmos.
Yeah.
The Descent Journeys in the Dark. The okay. Parsley Games Action Castle.
That's the one, yeah.
Then, of course, the Savage Worlds, My Little Pony, Ponies of the Apocalypse, and the Bears vs. Ponies Battle Royale.
Right.
That's going to let people wonder what those are, really.
And I will probably be assisting as needed with the new card game.
Oh, the new card game that you guys created.
Well, it's another thing CanCon we're going to be debuting at least a rough copy of Zargon Lord of Chickens. So,
I can't wait to see that. That'll be exciting.
It's coming. I already ordered it.
Yeah, awesome. I ordered the badges and whatnot the other day. So that's hopefully they get here. I think they'll get them here just fine.
But hopefully I can play in a bunch of different things. That's my goal.
Yeah. All right, cool. Well, what I've got going on is I'm running a few things. I'm only running sort of my staple for CanCon last year was I ran Feng Shui League of Extraordinary Gentlemen 1988, where, of course, the characters got to play or players got to be Jack Burton from Big Trouble in China, and Johnny Five from Short Circuit, and Teen Wolf, stuff like that.
And Shortstop.
And John McClane,
Dirty Harry.
Baracus. That's in this new one.
Oh.
It went over so well that I decided to do a quote-unquote, well, I guess this is a prequel, although the first one involved time travel. This one will probably involve it, too. That's League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. It's Feng Shui, League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, 1977.
What you're looking at here is a 44 Magnum.
Yes.
And at this range, it'll take your head clean
Dirty
off.
Harry is one of the playable characters, as is Foxy Brown, John Shaft.
Shaft.
Josh. Foxy Brown, John Shaft, and there's a number of other ones. There is one surprise one that I think is going to make everyone have some fun with that one. But as of yesterday, the all of the events are both. I'm running it Friday and Saturday, and they're both sold out now. So that should be a lot of fun. Basically the lowdown on that one is the characters are brought together by the League, of course, because of some sort of incident on Fantasy Island. And yes, it will involve the love boat. So,
do we get what's his name? The guy going DePayne, boss DePayne.
Well, of course, you're going to have him in DePayne, boss DePayne. I guess I'll mention a fourth character. It's Quint from Jaws. His ghost is one character. Is a playable character.
Yes.
So, yeah. And he has an eye patch now because he got swallowed by a shark, so he has to have an eye patch.
Yes. Hello, I got eaten by a bloody shark.
But I'm actually going to be playing in Age of Conan board game, which I've been wanting to play forever. I love the Conan stories. I love the Conan universe. And Fantasy Flight put out this really cool Age of Conan game, but it's like a $90 game, and I'm not going to pay $90 on the chance that I like it. So luckily, one of our good friends, John Hook, is running it on Saturday morning, and I'm getting into a game of that. I'm also going to be able to play Mutants Masterminds 3rd Edition with our good friend Noah, is actually coming down and running DC Adventures Super Friends on Friday and Sunday, and I'm going to play in the Sunday
Wonder Twin Powers Activate!
Yes, I'm looking forward to that one. That one should be a lot of fun. I'm also going to be playing in a game of Dread. Dread is, of course, the indie game that you use a Jenga tower as the mechanic for the game.
Which is freaking sweet.
And this one is called Extraction, the Inception RPG. So, and it's run by Dr. Nathan, of course, Nathan Pankey. And a new event sort of popped up that I switched out one of mine for, because I'm going to get a chance to play Chris Perrin's Mecha before CantCon. So I'm going to...
Is that the Mecha and Barbecue?
Yes, yes. I'm gonna try to make that happen. So I instead swapped that out for Savage Worlds for a Fistful of Muppets.
Awesome!
We got some strange Savage Worlds games coming out this year. I mean, we got one with My Little Ponies, one with Care Bears, and now one with Muppets.
Hey, we've also got a Buck Rogers in the 36th Century style one, too.
It's pretty awesome. I'm looking forward to that one. That one's going to be a lot of fun.
I hope everybody had a good time with the Fly Me Away to the Rings of Saturn.
I had a good time.
I love how you started calling everybody meat bags.
Yes. I had to come up with something, you know.
The nicknames Andre came up with were pretty good, too. Jukebox, Sparrow.
Yeah. I hope we wrote those down.
Yeah, I had everybody write them down on their character sheets. The only one who didn't write down his nicknames was Fenty. He didn't write down Locke's nicknames. Right. But, like, Emma Sweet Pea, that's mm-hmm. what he kept calling Emma. Malcolm was the captain, Mal.
Yeah.
Sagan, Jukebox.
Uh-huh, that was me.
We have the Dequiar, which wasn't played, the Zerini, which wasn't played, the Grey, which wasn't played, the Hisurie, which wasn't played, and the Protozoid, which wasn't played.
I had fun with it.
Yeah, I had a great time running it. It's just, I think Andre was getting frustrated with all the combat, but I'm like, it's going to be a con game. There's got to be action.
Yes,
you know?
Well, yeah.
It's not Call of Cthulhu. I can't have this sit there with long monologues.
We've talked a bit about running con games before, but it's all you pretty much have to put people on rails in a 4-hour game. I mean, especially with all strangers, it's got to happen.
Yeah.
But CanCon, of course, is running July. Jeremy is taking a little break to go put the dogs out, so we can now talk about them all we want.
Yeah.
The CanCon, of course, is running July 8th, 9th, and 10th at Johnson County Community College. I mentioned the Kickstarter, which was the pre-registration, where people could sign up and get bigger and better things. Well, part of that is some people, if they pledged $10 or more, they actually get a bit of a shout-out, so I'm actually going to go down a little list here of people that supported CanCon and were... really instrumental in getting the con to where it is as of right now, and hopefully to make it the success that it is when it goes down. Now there were some people that that were eligible for a shout out, but did not respond or either told me they were not interested in having their information out there. So we're not going to mention everybody that got this, but we're going to mention all the people that wanted to be mentioned. First on the list is, of course, Tracy Barnett, which is, of course, our Rolling Twenties on the forums. He is known as the Rolling Twenties on the forums, and he's a player in my Justice City game. He's also wants to be referred to as the Supreme High Overlord of all reality and its subsidiaries. Tracy's a great guy. We actually met Tracy through the show. He's a listener, and he liked us enough to come out to CanCon last year, and of course has become quite a good friend. I met up with him at Gen Con last year, and he's coming out here to spend some time with us pre-CanCon. And
he's going
to
be here like the Tuesday before, isn't he?
Tuesday or Wednesday. Tuesday, yes. He'll be coming out Tuesday. And I should be able to, and I'll be seeing him again at GenCon
this year.
So that'll be a lot of fun. The next person we got is someone I don't know personally, but it's Jeff Lane. So a good shout out to Jeff Lane. Thank you for your support of CanCon. We got
to quote a line from PBS: "Without viewers like you, this would not be a possibility."
Exactly. Without viewers like you, we got someone who only wants to be referred to as DM Nell. So I want to say thank you, DM Nell, for your support.
Yes, thank you.
Of course, we've mentioned him before, but Jay Carter, William J. Carter III, is one of the guys who is obviously supporting CanCon. He's the guy who came up with the Jabberglug, who is our mascot for CanCon this year.
A great he's a
graphic designer.
Yeah, great graphic designer.
Most of, if not all of our graphic design, the only ones he didn't do is if you come to CanCon, you're going to be seeing some people in Mastermind shirts and Henchman shirts. Those are images done by a friend of mine,
Jeremy
Rizza, out in Wichita.
Who's an awesome, awesome guy.
Awesome guy.
I wish he could come.
Well, he does a game. He's not a gamer.
I know, but if he could come up, he could have a table with his artwork, and I'd buy it.
But Jay was nice enough to, Jay Carter was nice enough to put together the some great logos for us, the Jabberglock, endless number of things. I asked him to do some certificates here and there, and he did them all free. And really, I'll be giving him a good shout-out during the award ceremony at CanCon. So thanks to Jay Carter for his support. Then we got Dr. Nathan, who we have referred to earlier on, of course. Dr. Nathan is a definite supporter of CanCon.
Yes.
Andy is another one who does not want his last name out there, just Andy. We got...
thank you, Andy.
Yes, thank you, Andy. Joshua Meadows is another supporter. Thank you, Joshua. Mike Dugan is on there.
I think he goes by Josh.
Joshua... Either way, thank you very much for your support. Mike Dugan, thanks for your support.
Yes.
Becca Meadows, obviously the some way affiliated with Josh Meadows.
Not entirely certain how. I'm not familiar with these people personally.
No. Brendan Howard is also on there as well. I want to thank you. We got Amanda Puentes is also a supporter of CanCon. And also she got one of the tiers, and was kind enough. We're going to give her a little profile. Amanda is played in Andre's New Hope campaign setting as Runhura, the half-dragon. I will confess I haven't listened to the New Hope campaign. Of course, it's 50 episodes on our website of 4 to 6 hour in length each episode, and I just...
That's a lot of work.
I asked her 7 questions handed down to me by my the great slightly modified by James Lipton. So I asked her, what is your favorite game, and she said the City of Angels, running Mutants and Masterminds, GM'd by Andre. Even though it's only been 3 weeks, she's having one hell of a time. This is a game that actually isn't up on our site yet. We're working on getting it posted, and we're going to get posted as soon as possible. What is your favorite game? She says, don't know about games, but, least favorite system is D20 Future. And this was her least favorite, excuse me. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally in a game? And she says, NPC connections. There's nothing like a good combat, but what keeps me coming back for more is the NPC that I've come to know and love and want to interact with. That is always fun. I have good NPCs.
Andre is really good.
Yes, Andre is really good at that, yes. What turns you off in a game? And she says, skipping time. I always hate it when suddenly we skip a month or something. There's always a lot of good things we could have done in that time. I'd agree, that's kind of off-putting.
Yeah, but it does happen. It has to happen for reasons in some games. Like the Wizards Academy game.
Sure.
There had to be times where we skipped time. There was
we'd still be playing it now.
Yeah.
A whole semester. It'd be kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I understand it has to happen, and it can be done well.
Mm-hmm. But and it worked quite well in the Wizards Academy game. Because it flowed seamlessly.
Sure. I asked her, what is her favorite Smurf? What is her favorite curse word? And it is, of course, Smurf. It's short and easy to exclaim, and you can say it pretty much for anything. What sound or noise do you love? And she says, the sound of low beats, I guess. I could sit and listen to a bass player for hours. What sound or noise do you hate? Snoring. My husband doesn't think I'm allowed to sleep at night. Yeah, that can be problematic. What game would you like to attempt that you have not attempted in the past? She says, a real-life game, you know, where someone's a cop or a telemarketer. Sounds stupid, but it has plenty of potential for hilarity. Yeah. I think you'd have to add more into that, like you're a cop or something fantastic, or else you just, you know.
Think of how crazy that would be. Take yourself, put yourself like you are in your job, mm-hmm. and drop yourself into a situation where the day starts off normal, and then everything just goes haywire.
Right.
It's like that Falling Skies show.
What game would you like to attempt that you have not attempted in the past? That was that one. What game would you like not to attempt? And she said, Under the Sea. Sounds too scary to think about. Giant whales, hungry sharks, endless abysses, no thank you. So I'm not sure if she means like playing games under the sea or if there's a game out there called Under the Sea.
But I'm not certain. I've never heard of a game called Under the Sea.
And finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates? And she says she'd like him to say, LOL, you totally just split your head open on the coffee table. Come on in. I've got boatloads of aspirin. The next one is, of course, someone... someone special and dear to me. She is our own food czar, Bethany Molinax. She, of course, supports at CantCon and has done quite a lot to help out. She's also, you know, just for full disclosure, she's my fiance. So, what is her favorite game? She says Agricola. I think that's a game from
Agricola.
Mayfair.
That's a board game, and it's awesome.
I think it's from Mayfair.
Yes, it is, and it's awesome.
She says it's really good. I haven't played it yet.
You need to sit down and play it with her.
She hates those long games. Like, she despises and loathes Talisman.
Oh, yeah.
I know. That's Becca's favorite game. I taunt her with it. That's why the Conquest of Narath, that D&D game we got, to me, it looks like a lot of fun. She's like, no.
That's like a 12-hour board game.
No, it's 2 to 4 hours.
Oh, God. Great con game.
Which brings us into what's your least favorite game. She says, anything long. I don't care for games that drag on for 4 to 10 hours. And I think she really wanted to put like Talisman.
Talisman. I have never had a Talisman game last 4 hours.
Oh, I have.
I haven't.
Talisman's random, though. I mean, it can go an hour, 2 hours, 6 hours.
You have to admit, the average length of time for our Talisman's games is about 2.5 hours before someone becomes, I am God Almighty, I stomp death.
Or we decide to quit, yes.
Yeah.
What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally in a game? She said, I enjoy good storytelling. It gets the mind working. I like solving puzzles throughout the game. One of the many reasons I love Call of Cthulhu.
She does not like the scary bits of Call of Cthulhu, I might add.
What turns you off in a game? She says, I hate it when people try to break rules, get competitive to the point of being an ass, or when the game is boring. Yeah, that can be a problem.
Yeah, I've run my share of boring games, and for that I apologize.
Yes. What is your favorite curse word? Well, I have several, but I like the sound of Smurf.
Well, Smurf is a great curse word.
What sound or noise do you love? Well, that's a hard choice, but I would have to go with the sound of children laughing. It's so pure and honest. That's very sweet. What sound or noise do you hate? The noise of when a fork or knife rakes across a plate. Yeah, that can be kind of interesting.
It depends on the plate and the fork.
Yeah, depends on the child. I mean, plate and fork.
it depends on the food you're eating, too.
What game would you like to attempt that you have not attempted in the past? She says, well, that's a difficult question. I've tried a lot of different games, and I don't think I have a specific answer to that. That's fair. What game would you like not to attempt? Any game that runs for an epic amount of time. I get this impression she doesn't like long games. Finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates? Well, I would like them to flee in terror at my being there on account of the mischief that I will create. Wahahahahahahaha. Yeah, that sounds like that.
Yeah.
The next contributor we have is Erin Marshall. She also has donated enough to get a bit of a profile, so we will go straight to
Erin Marshall.
Erin Marshall. She's actually a friend of Beth and me. What is your favorite game? Any game that ends with me winning or where I'm playing a smurfing awesome character. She decided to put Smurf in here a lot.
Okay.
What is your least favorite game? Smurfing Monopoly with my sister. What turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally in a game? Good plot, the interaction between players. What turns you off in a game? Smurfing metagamers. What is your favorite curse word? Smurf. Let's see. Smurf, Smurf, guzzling, gutter, Smurf.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have to. That's going to be fun. What sound or noise do you love? Rain. What sound or noise do you hate? Smurfing knives on plates. That must be a common thing. Okay. What game would you like to attempt that you have not attempted in the past? Cthulhu. Well, we've got that running.
We've got several of them running at CantCon.
What game would you like not to attempt? Smurfing Rifts. Excellent choice.
Wise choice.
Yeah, no, Rifts, good for Palladium, good for soaking up cat piss, of course.
Yes.
And finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates? Oh, I'm so sorry. There must be a mix-up. I think you got on the wrong bus. Also, sorry for Hammer Pants and Teletubbies. I didn't create them, but I was taking a nap when they were created. And then on to the rest of our shout-outs. Next one is our resident swagmaster, Nick Seal. Nick is, of course, 9 feet tall and I think a half giant.
At least.
And just everyone should send him some congratulations or well thoughts. Post on the forums.
just had it. He and his lovely wife, Michelle, just had their second baby.
Yes, congratulations, Nick.
And Jeremy, do you remember what the baby's name is? Because I can't off the top of my head.
I think it's Lillian. Lily,
yeah, Lillian. That sounds about right.
Here's to sleepless nights.
Yes. And, well, their first child was, of course, named Ethan. You know, shows a fine, upstanding name.
Yes.
The next contributor we have is Ronald Joyce. Thanks, Ron. Ron is a guy I met at CanCon last year.
Yeah, nice guy.
Next one is some schmuck that I know who is my brother Eric the Carpetbagger. And that is how he wanted to be referred to as.
The Carpetbagger?
Yes.
Your brother is
Eric
awesome.
Parker the Carpetbagger. We got another shout out here for Doreen Mundy. Not someone I think I've met. I look forward to meeting her at CanCon.
Yes.
Matt Harrop, who I know I've known for many, many years and is a big supporter.
I think I've met him twice, and he's an awesome guy.
We got Ryan Childers, also is a good supporter of CanCon. John McCauley. Then we get someone who only wants to be referred to as Danae. I believe it's a her. That's her first name, and we look forward to meeting her
yes,
as well.
Yes, we look forward to meeting you at CanCon, and thank you for supporting us.
Angela Robertson is a supporter of CanCon.
Thank you, Angela.
Angela is also one of an interview you'll be hearing here shortly of her, because she was one of the major supporters of CanCon, along with the next guy, Phil Brown, was also a big contributor. Joel Melling is another contributor, and the last one I've got here is Mr. Brian Fenton, also known as
Fenty. Yes, and Fenty is a great guy. If you have not met him, you will enjoy your interactions with him.
And Fenty will be there, should be there all 3 days.
Yes.
So Fenty should be, that should be a lot of fun.
Yeah, he'll lighten up any game he gets into.
Yes. But that's it for the sort of shout-outs and the fiddly bits that I need to do for the supporters of CanCon. I want to thank everyone that participated in the pre-registration Kickstarter. They really, really helped us out. For their trouble, they're getting a lot of them are getting the pre-registration D6. Some are getting mugs. Some are getting some custom dice bags that Angela's making up, and I've seen that are really fantastic.
I don't remember how much. I did 100.
You have
75 or 100, I think.
A miniature dice bag coming your way. And she hasn't. She's custom making them for it all. So mm-hmm. See her. She didn't get. When you see her at CanCon, she'll tell her what you want, and she'll make it for you.
Honestly, she just makes whatever she wants. I don't have a preference.
She's going to have some with her right now. Yeah. So.
I couldn't remember. I don't remember how much I donated. Honestly.
I don't remember off the top of my head.
I think it was like 75 or 100. It wasn't a lot because we did not have a lot of money to donate.
Sure.
We actually spent some of our return money to make sure we could donate, because otherwise we wouldn't have been able to donate anything.
It's all good. But that's what we got as far as the fine people who are supporting of CanCon. Like I said, as of right now, we're sitting at
99
registrations. That includes pre-registrations, pre-registrations, and, of course, the vendors who are coming out. So a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of people coming out. Colin's going to come out, a lot of our good friends, and a lot of new friends, hopefully. So
yeah. I have a question for when we're on our next break. So
all right. That is what we got, of course, for a little bit about what's going on with CanCon this year.
How many different games do we have so far that we know are running?
I think I counted it up, and it's something like about 70 different games running.
Nice.
Something like that.
That's even more than last year.
Yes. We have more space this year. We have...
We've literally doubled the space.
I guess I really should take a moment here to really talk about Johnson County Community College. They've been nothing but
awesome,
fantastic with us.
Oh, I mean, they were incredible.
They're really happy to have us there. I mean, they've been we talked about last year when we were looking at venues that some places just wouldn't talk to us after we found out we were doing the gaming convention.
Or the thing like what happened with me was they'd quote a price and they'd say, "Well, we charge about this much," and then they go, "So what are you guys doing?" And I'd explain it, and they go, "Our price is this much," and it'd be literally double or triple what the original price was, because upright moral standing Christians don't let D&D games get played. They're the spawn of Satan.
I know specifically
sort of
one of those was
Independence Convention Center.
Yeah, they were very, very curt.
You know,
the sad thing was there were several places that were really interested in having us come out there, but the thing was what happened was they did not get back with us until after
price at Johnson County was just really good.
Well,
too,
no, so. the Holiday Inn, right down here in Olathe, mm-hmm. the big one.
Uh-huh.
They were really gunning for it, but the thing was they didn't get back to
Johnson
us.
Johnson County, we're going to be looking at other places.
Well, the space at the Holiday Inn was about the same space as Johnson County. It was just the problem was they were willing to match what Johnson County could do, but we had already agreed to do Johnson County, and so there was just no doing it. But they were really nice people. It was just we didn't get it in the time we needed, and so we ended up with Johnson County. And you know what? Either way we would have gone, I'm sure it would have been excellent.
Mm-hmm.
But Johnson County has literally just been
a great venue as it is, and Johnson County's been nothing but accommodating.
Yeah, and they were super, super nice. I mean, they were willing to do stuff that we didn't expect them to do. And
they're letting me come out a day early, albeit at 10 o'clock at night, just fine, to make sure that the place is set up right, so I don't have to worry about that at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, that'll be nice.
CanCon runs July 8th, 9th, and 10th. Doors open at 8 o'clock a.m. each day for the public. You can register at the door. It's just going to cost you a bit more, $30 $30 for a three-day pass or $12 for a single-day pass. So by the time this comes out, pre-registration will
be closed.
Over. So, come out to CanCon. And with that, we will be back after this.
Hello? Is this thing on? What? You didn't think we were going to be gone that long, did you?
You've been listening to the Chronic Rift podcast.
With all new episodes beginning May 19th with our episode 0.
Each week we deliver news, reviews, and interviews while discussing the latest pop culture phenomena.
And don't forget the guest hosts for the in-review segments, Paul.
For bios, blogs, podcast archive, and general information, visit us on the web at chronicrift.com. The Chronic Rift is part of the Mevio Network, where you can listen to our podcast, subscribe to our iTunes, Zune, and RSS feeds.
That's May 19th at chronicrift.mevio.com.
For The Chronic Rift, this is Paul K. Bisson. The Chronic Rift is a Lucky Shot production.
I love it when he says that part.
Well, this is Ethan with Gamers Haven Podcast once again, and I am sitting here with another contributor to the CantCon craziness. This time I am sitting here with Phil. It's Phil Brown, right?
Yes.
Phil Brown. Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, Phil?
Well, I'm more than a little bit of a gaming enthusiast because it's the hobby that goes along with the endless amount of work that has to go into my putting myself through school so that I can pursue my other hobby, which is digging up fossils. So, apart from work, game is how I keep myself sane. Mm-hmm. It's not much, but it's all I have.
Yeah, my brother and I used to have a friend that was an archaeologist. He went into archaeology, and he had a lot of stories of going down into on like internship digs and stuff in Central America. Yeah. Something about spiders the size of basketballs and spider monkeys that try to pee on you.
Yeah, I don't think if I ever go anywhere exotic, I don't want to go to the Amazon.
Yeah.
Not really all that worth it. Rather, I'd be fine with a Gobi instead.
That'd be awesome. Well, they just, I saw some article that they used satellite imagery in Egypt and found like 21 or something, like 17 or 20 lost pyramids. So
yeah, that makes sense. The dunes sweep in.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. Well, how is it you got into gaming in general? I mean, obviously it's a big part of who you are. So
yeah. Well, it was quite a while back. I've been gaming for quite a while. I played D&D when I was younger, but it was more of a messing around with the friends. It was more about telling stories than rolling dice then, and that's usually what I end up doing when I run games these days.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been gaming for some time and easily distracted by cats at the same time as well.
Sure, that's Harley.
That's fine. Gosh, I lost my train of thought. I just like good storytelling. It's what I prefer in movies and books. It's how I get along in gaming, and gaming is a way to express my storytelling urge without getting to the point where I have to deal with writer's block forever and ever.
Sure. What was the game? What was the first game you played? What got you into it?
Well, the first role-playing game I ever played was D&D. Beyond that, I've played, I wouldn't say everything under the sun, but I've played a lot of the mainstream ones. I've played D&D, Pathfinder is our newest fix. We've played Marvel Universe role-playing game, Anima, a little bit of White Wolf, though most of the guys have fallen out of favor with it these days.
If you've listened to the show at all, I mean, I cut my teeth on superhero games, so, I mean, Marvel superhero role-playing is what got me into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Total comic geek over here.
I stumbled into the MURPG because that was a $9 find at Eccentrics down in Pittsburgh, and I picked it up thinking, hey, I remember seeing this a long time ago. I doubt anyone's going to play it. Suddenly everybody loved it.
So are you from Kansas? You're from Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I've lived in Kansas all my life. Johnson County, really. Mostly in DeSoto, but the rest of it's been here in Gardner.
Awesome. Question I gotta ask pretty much everyone, and I'll be asking everyone at CantCon is, well, how did you hear about CantCon?
I heard it from a friend. He had mentioned that there was a gamers convention. He was also the one who told me about Planet Comic Con a couple of years ago.
All right. So you heard from someone who went last year.
He'd gone to Planet Comic Con before, and that's his bigger draw. He's not so much of a gamer. But he's heavily into comics, and that's what got me back into it. And later on, he said, by the way, there's some guys I know there who are doing a gaming convention. Took a look at the website, and I was sold immediately.
Oh, well, that makes me happy. I rebuilt the website twice, so. Now, the another question that's on the minds, obviously, is this year we did the CantCon pre-registration through Kickstarter. And from my point of view, it went great. Why did you choose to support CantCon as much as you did?
Because, for one, we know that many gamers around the area who would enjoy it or beyond the area that are drawn in by it, so much the better, because why should Gen Con have all the fun?
Exactly. Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I made it, because I couldn't go to Gen Con.
Yeah.
As far as your the games you're into, what is it you're playing right now?
Presently, we're playing Pathfinder on Fridays. It's a game that I run with a world that I've built myself. We actually, because of the podcast, we're in the middle of building a world via Dawn of Worlds that we're planning on using for a later Pathfinder game.
That was
game.
A lot of fun. We plan on, we're going to have to write that thing up at some point. It's all sort of this chaotic.
Yeah, I just bought a big old notebook and for everybody's turn wrote a summary of what they did, how many points they spent to keep track for the rather vague rules that were in that PDF so that we could make as much sense of it as possible.
Yeah. Well, that whole thing was Jeremy's idea, so I mean,
it was a good idea. Liked it the second I saw it.
It was a lot of fun. And we've come across a lot of people who have made stuff with it, so it's pretty interesting. Is there a game out there that you've played that is basically your favorite? Is it something you've loved to play?
That's a hard sell because there are a lot of other games that we play. I'd have to say my first love was D&D, but I have a really bad relationship with WotC, let's put it that way. I don't like all the planned obsolescence they put into Magic when I played that before I was playing RPGs, and then I got hooked into a D&D 3rd Ed, which was great. 3.5 was fine. Then I heard about what 4th Ed was doing, and it just reminded me of a game that I absolutely loathe, and that's World of Warcraft.
Oh, yeah.
I lost a friend or two to that game, so any similarities between that one and an actual pencil and paper RPG just made my blood boil.
Sure. And it's the nice thing about, I've been gaming for 20 years, and it sounds like you're about in the same boat, we're living in an interesting time right now, is because you have in Dungeons and Dragons terms, you can play anything at this point. I mean, you can go play original D&D, you know, like the original
stuff. White Box.
Yeah, I mean, it's the rules are out there. Yeah. The entire web has changed everything, and with Pathfinder, with 4th edition and whatnot, I mean, that's what we're always trying to give out on the podcast is, you know, just play the game.
Yeah.
Right? So,
I mean, I'll play it, I just won't buy it. There, a friend of mine refuses to have bought Saga Edition Star Wars because she spent so much money on Revised Edition. That's how I feel with 4th Ed as far as 3.5 and Pathfinder goes. I invested a lot into it. I'll play it, I just won't buy it.
Yeah, yeah. And some of us just can't afford to buy it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been in that boat too.
Yeah, those books are pricey.
Very pricey. Heck, Animo was $65, but that was worth it. That was everything in one book.
Not Anima?
Anima is Fantasy Flight's one. I believe it was made... Yeah, it was made in Japan and Spain. There was a collaboration between the two. It's trying to make a more anime-styled RPG. And there's my cell phone telling me something I don't need to know. Yar. And there goes my sunglasses. Thank you. It's a percentile system. It's a lot like Hackmaster, only there's a lot of options. When you pick a character class, it doesn't choose what you can do, it just selects what's cheaper for your character to buy with their development points. And there are a few things that we just love the hell out of on that one. There's the single worst and single best skill in the game. It's the style check in that one, so that if you pull it off properly, you can make a horrible failure look like you've actually succeeded to the crowd. Basically, it's the bard's best friend.
Oh, okay. All right. So it's Anima, huh? I've seen it somewhere.
I know Joe at 31st Century has a copy or two of it, but its full title is Anima Beyond Fantasy. They don't have much support out for it in America. Europe has more books out than we do.
You mentioned the 31st Century Game and Hobby. Is that your game store?
That's my gaming home right there. I've been going there from the beginning, essentially, when I was just playing Magic the Gathering.
So what is it you're looking at, and what do you look at for a gaming store you love?
As far as a gaming store, close helps, though it's not a requirement.
Sure.
Having a wide variety is another thing that I absolutely like. That's why tabletop is great, but I do still like 31st Century, because they have board games, they have Warhammer, they have the RPGs and comic books.
Their own, so, you know.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Variety is the spice of life.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right, I've got a series of questions here. You already sort of touched on a little bit your favorite game. Do you have a game you've played that you would, under no circumstances, ever touch again with a 20-foot pole?
I wouldn't touch it. I'd watch it being played, but Kobolds Ate My Baby was one of those games. I mean, it's hilarious, but it's really only good once you've hit 2 a.m. and it's Gigalopolis and no one's really making any sense.
A game of that got ran at CanCon last year, and I got to watch a little bit of it. I haven't played that one yet, though. Yeah.
I mean, it's fun, but it was only amusing to me the first time.
Well, and it's they advertise it as a beer and pretzels game. So, yeah. I mean, and it's also Kobolds Ate My Baby. I mean,
yeah.
You're not going to get any deep intellectual role-playing out of that.
No. Not to be expected at all.
Now, as far as in gaming, what turns you on creatively, spiritually, emotionally? I mean, what do you love in games?
Well, as far as in games, it just lets me unleash the writer, because unlike some of my friends or my sister, I'm not that good at writing it down and keeping to a schedule for writing. It becomes hard when it's forced, but when it's a role-playing game, it's more free-form, so the DM throws something at you and you can respond in character, and it's a natural reaction because every little character has at least one or two bits of you in it, so you can identify with it and just roll on out from there.
You mentioned writing. You write a lot?
I do a bit of writing. Most of it ends up getting deleted because I'm just that much of a perfectionist. I hate most of my work. So
I know most artists will be the harshest critics of their own stuff. I know I am. So I mean, I think the minute you're satisfied with something completely and utterly, you just need to stop. So.
Yeah.
What is it that you write?
I write fiction, mostly fantasy or science fiction.
Cool, excellent. What's what in a game turns you off, sort of creatively, spiritually, emotionally, all that? What do you just can't stand if going into a game? Not the game itself, but within a game.
Within a game, I really do not like being led by the nose through problems. I mean, sometimes I can't deal with them and I need to be shown where it goes, and that's usually why the other players are there to help. Mm-hmm. But if it becomes so pointless that the GM has to throw obvious breadcrumbs down, that mm-hmm. just makes me irritated. Another thing that I can't stand is when a GM just loses focus entirely. I'm guilty of that myself, so I can sympathize.
It's just every GM's going to be guilty of it, whether they admit it or not.
Yeah. But I've had one or two GMs that just lose track entirely and the game just gets completely derailed and no one wants to go back to it. I mean, it's one of the reasons why I end up running games more often than playing them these mm-hmm. days. I'd much rather play, but if no one else will run.
Did you start off playing or running?
I did start out playing the games and then ended up running it because I had a couple of good ideas that turned into a campaign that most of the players enjoyed and it lasted a while. And then they said, well, can you do another one? Because unlike a lot of the other ones, I don't do open-ended ones where it's a complete sandbox and there's sure. no finite end. I like having the end at the end of a story.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, yeah. Now, did you get into the gaming? Was it we're talking elementary school? We're talking junior high, high school.
It was early middle school, I think, when I actually started getting into it.
Awesome. Now the following questions are all pretty straightforward. What is your favorite curse word?
Fantastic or existing?
Doesn't matter.
Well, one my sister and I like using a lot is "what the fish" is a good substitute for the original F word. I mean, mm-hmm. as much as I'll use it, using "fish" or "frack" or "zark" are good ways mm-hmm. to get around it when you're feeling like being creative.
Sure.
So usually, the fish is a good way to start it off.
The fish, excellent. What sound or noise do you love?
That's a hard one, but I'd have to say rain is high up there on the list.
What sound or noise do you hate?
Bad music.
Ooh, yeah. Not fun. What game would you like to attempt that you have not attempted in the past?
Well, I do have a copy of King Arthur Pendragon that I've been wanting to get into use. It's just that the rules for that one are so arcane, they're almost like rifts. So as much as I'd love to play that game, seeing as how different it is that you have to build a character based on the honor of his father before him and then mm-hmm. throw him into, by the way, you're a knight, so go do quests, go do this, that, and the other while the round table is still active. I'd love to try it, but like a lot of other games, I'm probably going to end up running it rather than playing it.
Mm-hmm. Finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
So this is what happened to the dinosaurs, and then just a long, rambling spiel about exactly what happened throughout history. Excellent. Exactly what I'd like to hear.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for supporting CantCon and for coming in for the interview.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We are back, and today on the three-parter, we've got a few things going on. Of course, Nathan's going to talk a bit about what he's into. Jeremy's got a review, and I've got, as usual, a shameless plug. So we will kick it off with Nathan's What We're Into.
What We're Into.
Ah, well, that's a nice way to start off the... It picked that up. You're going to have to smurf that out. Sorry, I was trying to open something and it's not working. What I'm actually going to talk about today is what I'm into. I recently started a new job, as most of you know, and I got my first paycheck. It may not have been a full paycheck, but it was still probably the nicest paycheck I've seen in a while. And so I rushed out and I spent what little of the money I had that I could set aside for my fun time money on a couple books. I managed to pick up a copy of Hollow Earth Expedition, the pulp adventure role-playing game, and I picked up a copy of Slipstream to read up on how to do, hopefully, how to do a sci-fi, you know, sci-fi game for Savage Worlds. I've read through all of Slipstream, and I kind of have a mixed reaction on Slipstream. The premise for Slipstream is cool. The way the system is done with the races and stuff is really cool. The ships are really cool. I don't like the setting. That's not to say the setting is bad. The setting is very well laid out. It's well thought out. There's tons of information available on various different aspects of it. I mean, it's obvious that this work was professionally done, very professionally done. I just don't care for the idea of there being atmosphere, you know, being able to breathe and to basically, between the shattered fragments of the planets, you could basically fly through space without a spacesuit on if you wanted to. I don't care for that feel. I know that's the feel of the old 1930s movies, but, you know, that was before people really understood what space was,
sure,
sort of thing. And so I don't care for that aspect. The idea behind it is good. The rules are very well laid out. The equipment's great. The artwork's okay. I didn't like the artwork as much as I thought I would. The book is a quick read. It's about 280 pages, I think. And so I breezed through it in two nights. And, you know, it uses our favorite rules system, Savage Worlds. So it's an easy play. So yeah, it's got a lot of things going for it. But I don't like the setting. So, definitely if you like the idea of like Buck Rogers, check it out, because it does a very good job of doing that. If you don't like Buck Rogers, if you hate Buck Rogers, skip it and what I'm working on with Ethan and Jeremy, because you won't like it at all. The next book I picked up is Hollow Earth Expedition. Now, this is an interesting book. I have not gotten too terribly far in it. This has a lot of information heavily compressed. I mean, if you look at the type font in this book, it's actually it's a little bit smaller than what they normally use in these size of books. I don't know if Ethan can see this. It's probably a point or 2 points smaller on the font size. This is the story text, but if you look at like the actual text, it's like a font point or two smaller than normal. And there's 250 pages of material here, and there is a lot of reading material because there's just various different ways you can actually do the Hollow Earth. On top of that, it seems that the system that the game is set upon, which I believe is called Destiny System, but don't quote me on that, seems to be a little complicated. I mean, not as complicated as like AD&D.
Sure.
I don't think anything can be as complicated as that.
By far, one of the most complicated systems I ever read was the original Conspiracy X.
Blue Planet.
Blue Planet wasn't necessarily complicated. It's just the book itself.
Complex. It was complex. It wasn't complicated. It was complex.
But
yeah.
It was like reading a microbiology textbook.
Yeah. This, I'm trying to see here. They discuss the actual system in here, but I can't find it. Don't quote me on it, but I think it's called the Destiny System. I'm not certain, though, I can't find it.
It's called the Super Fabulastic System.
Yeah, it's. The setting for this game, of course, Hollow Earth. Yeah. Most people who have read any of the pulp fiction from the 1890s and
earlier, yeah, type of thing, yeah,
that sort of thing, dinosaurs and sunlight and stuff like that inside the planet. And like one of the actual pictures at the beginning of the book is actually shows Mount Sneffels. And Iceland, which is, of course, the entry point, for those of you who remember, that was the volcano that they actually entered into in The Journey to the Center of the Earth,
yep,
by Jules Verne. The artwork is very well done. I mean, look at that. I mean, that's just cool looking, is it not? I mean, I should take pictures of this and post, pictures and post it. I mean, it's got really well laid out stuff.
They've won awards and at least been nominated for a lot of their artwork.
Yeah.
And their stuff looks great.
Yeah, it looks great. I'm not too certain about the system yet. I've read up. They have this really cool thing. It takes place in the 1930s, and they have a population demographic and layout for the entire world for every nation. There's 160 nations, and they tell you the population of the nation and the general premise of how the nation is working at this point in time. It takes place in 1936. Or 1939. It takes place in the 30s. I'm sure you can set it up how you want, but it's got tons of information. And the section on making the characters and stuff, I printed off a character sheet. I figure I'm going to try to bust my way through it But I'm not entirely certain about the rules because I haven't gotten to the crunchy bits yet. But flipping through the book and the back, there is, from the Exile Game Studios, apparently they have Ubiquity dice. And that might be the name of the system, Ubiquity. Which are D1s, D2s, and D3s.
Yeah.
I don't know about that, you know? If D1s, D2s, and D3s are common dice in this game, that's kind of strange. I mean, I don't know many game systems that use it. But I can't really make a lot of complaints or disgruntlement about the system because, as I said, I haven't gotten that far into the book yet. I've been marveling over the artwork, which I enjoy. It's all hand-drawn pencil line art and shading shape line art. And there's not a lot of inked artwork in this book. And I really like that because when I draw, that's the type of drawing I do. It's all pencil. I never was really good with doing anything more than that. There's, you know, it's got like the cool thing from like Shadowrun where they give you some characters in color. And yeah, the artwork is just great. So it's an interesting idea so far. I'm not certain how the system is. If there's anybody out there who's actually run the system that can give me some pointers on how the system actually works. The actual system. The thing I've heard many, many times about this game is the setting is great, the ideas are great, and it makes a great transfer over to Savage Worlds. I mean, when I bought the book, there were three people in the store, and they all said the same thing. So that indicates something, but I'm not certain if it's just they have a preference for Savage Worlds because we have a preference for Savage Worlds.
Exile Game Studios.
Yeah, and. Let me tell you what, if you love artwork, the book is worth the $40 alone for the artwork. It's gorgeous.
Gorgeous.
I mean, it is absolutely beautiful. I just don't know how the system works yet.
Sure.
And if someone's running a Hollow Earth Expedition game at CantCon, let me know, because I wouldn't mind sitting down and trying it out. It looks cool. And I love, you got to love the pulp 1930s setting. I mean, Indiana Jones, enough said.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, enough said. That's basically take Indiana Jones and pit him against dinosaurs and Nazis. Because Nazis are a bad guy in this game.
Well, in any pulp setting.
Yeah, Nazis are bad guys in any pulp setting. But yeah, they're a bad guy in this game setting too.
Jeremy's wondering about the slipstream ships. Are the ships any good in that? I mean, is it good ship combat? Or?
The ship-to-ship combat essentially uses the main ship-to-ship combat for flight combat in the Savage Worlds rules. There is some advanced rules in there which make for a little bit more interesting because, in space versus an atmosphere, you can literally go in any direction, which makes for some very complex combat.
Mm-hmm.
They recommend they don't recommend it in the book, but they recommend it when you look at the addendum stuff online. They recommend that you actually try to limit space combat to a two-dimensional plane, you know, this sure. way and this way.
Oh yeah, makes sense.
I mean, yeah, an X Y axis.
Make it too overcomplicated.
Yeah, you don't want to put too much of a Z axis.
I still think the best ship-to-ship combat rules were Matt Harrop's rules from Periphery many
years ago.
Which I talked to him about, and he actually still had and sent me the rules for.
Yeah, because the Savage World rules for ship-to-ship combat are good. They're not complex. They're basically simple, and that's the nice thing about Savage Worlds is that it is simple and allows for easy use and play. But there is some room to be expanded, so you can do a more complex space combat. The races section of Slipstream is really cool because not only do they have big major races, they have another section where they just have a simple little description of a race, and they have about 30 of those that are also playable races.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's like 10 or 11 big races, and then there's 30 minor races, and then there's a section on how to make your own race. So the rules for actually making alien races in the game, because it's essentially, if people don't know about the Slipstream setting, Slipstream is actually what they call a pocket universe. What happens is as material is pulled into a black hole, it actually, some of it gets spewed out into this pocket universe called Slipstream. And the people and the life forms on the planet that get pulled through with the debris actually survive. So any sort of race you can think of, they've got a description for something that's like it. I mean, There's big ape guys and big cat people and winged humans and a race they call Amazon, like I think the Amazonians or something like that. They're like, or the Valkyrians, I'm sorry, which are like women warriors that fight for the, mm-hmm. the evil queen of the Slipstream universe. There's just all sorts of stuff. The rules for the races is great. I just don't like the idea, oh, you're in a pocket universe. Oh, you don't have a spaceship? Okay, just put on a jetpack. You don't need a helmet. Just, and away you go. I'm like,
it's one of those, yes. Space is not actually a vacuum. It's really thin air.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's how they describe it. I just go, I know that's how it was done in the old days, yeah. But we know enough about space now to go, no.
Yeah.
Yes, the scientist in me is turning.
It's very pulpy, but it is part of the genre. But I understand, you know, sometimes you do.
Well, there's incredible things you can do with vacuum.
Yeah.
And there's incredibly intelligent things you can do with vacuum for puzzles.
I remember, it was before I met you guys, but a feng shui game that took place in, that had an adventure that was out in space, and someone did jump from one spaceship to the other.
But that was feng shui.
Yeah, but the thing is
they just held their breath.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's scientifically hypothesized that a person can survive in outer space without a spacesuit for 11 seconds. So if he could jump from one ship to the other and get inside before 11 seconds was up, he'd be fine. He'd be in massive pain.
They were out there for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, they'd be in.
This is feng shui. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Yeah, they'd be in massive pain. But the thing is theoretically, it's possible. Theoretically.
Yeah.
No one is stupid enough or crazy enough to try it, as far as I know. But, you know, it's theoretically possible to survive in no atmosphere for 11 seconds before your body, part of your body freezes and the other part of your body boils and you explode.
Sure.
But, yeah, I can't get past the whole, oh, thin atmosphere. No! The scientist in me goes, never! He does his nerd rage and screams to the sky. Yeah, so... But yeah, Slipstream is a great book to pull as a launching pad for making your own space game. It definitely gives you enough races and enough ideas. Just transplant it into something else.
The race generator.
Yeah, the race generator is crazy. Mm-hmm. I have to show you that. It's really well done.
I have the PDF for it. And I looked at it recently. But yeah.
Yeah, it's really well done. Hollow Earth Expedition, based off the artwork alone. And the layout of the book, it's worth the $40 I paid for it.
Yeah,
just that alone. I don't know about the rules system because I haven't gotten to the rules part yet. I'm sure it's very crunchy. And as when I finish actually reading the Hollow Earth Expedition book, I will do a review on it. But this is just my initial opinion on it. The artwork is gorgeous, and I'm an artwork crazy nut. So if it's got good artwork, you know, I'll buy the book just based on the artwork. And this one always caught my attention when they had it at Gen Con. And they never had the book when I had the money. It was always sold out. Always sold out. And so when I saw it sitting on the shelf at Tabletop, I went, yoink, you're coming home with me. And then I put Invaders from Outer Space back on the shelf. Because I was like, I can't buy books.
You can always borrow it from me.
Yeah. No, I will be getting a copy of that game. That game is awesome. But yeah, check them out. If you know someone who has them, see if they'll run them for you. See what you think. Maybe Slipstream is much cooler run than it appears in the book. Yeah. I don't know.
All right, cool.
The review.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep,
we can hear you fine.
All right, so today I am going to be discussing a neat little game called Minecraft. It's actually in beta. It's a computer game. It's Minecraft beta 1.6.6, and it's from Mojang, and I had heard about this game for quite a long time, but I could not find a demo that I really liked until I was told to check out PC Gamer. And PC Gamer has I believe it's a 99-minute demo. The nice thing about the demo is after 99 minutes, your world shuts down, but you can always just go back out and start a new world. So while you can't save, you can keep trying it. Minecraft is what I guess they call a sandbox game. Though when I look at it, I look at it kind of like a Lego game with a lot of freedom. Basically, it's very blocky. You do collect resources. In the demo, you actually start with some tools, but in the normal game, you don't start with any tools. And the game has different settings. In the normal peaceful setting, sometimes called the creative setting, there are no monsters, but there are animals. And your whole thing is to create different tools, as well as use different resources to build whatever you want. In the any other thing above peaceful, it's the survival. And with the survival mode, you can still build everything, but then there's monsters that also run around. Now, there are tons of mods that players and fans have created. And some of these mods are a lot of fun. Some of these mods add other players. There is actually a beta server for Minecraft. I myself have set up a small server. I don't run it that often just because it does take up some resources, but setting up a Minecraft server is not hard and is actually a lot of fun, so your friends can play on it. I purchased the Minecraft game through the actual Minecraft website. It came to about $21. That's the beta version, but as soon as the actual version comes out, you will get it. It is not a month. There is no monthly charge. You can play it either in your browser or on your computer itself. There are tons of texture packs. There's tons of all sorts of neat little things. The game takes resources and building to a whole nother level. The game also has interesting physics. Some of the physics are real. Some of the physics aren't quite real. But it does, basically, in Minecraft, you have to come up with your own gold. Some people have created adventure servers, but really, you have to come up with your own goal. Like, your goal could be, I want to build this castle. Or, I want to mine to the center of the earth. Which you can do. There is magma, and you can die. I have to give this game, even though it's in beta, the single-player version has very few bugs that I've found. The multiplayer version has a few bugs so far. And, of course, some of the player mods have bugs. The skin packs that you get for your character itself, no issues. And I believe once this game comes out in full version, it's going to be great. I mean, it's just, you can run it in different levels of how visually you want it to be complex. I like it at the lowest setting. It's very simple. Everything's in blocks, but at the same time, it all fits together. I also know some people use 3D glasses, and what's cool is it adds to some of the Minecraft settings, especially if you put up the resolution and everything. So I give Minecraft 3 thumbs up. I recommend it. I recommend going to PC Gamer, downloading the demo. It doesn't take that much to run. I recommend trying it. I think you'll have a lot of fun. And you can add mods all you want. I mean, be careful about what sites you go to. You only go to, you know, some of the main player sites. But at some point, there should be, hopefully, main mods off of the Minecraft site. So, but most of the stuff is fan-based right now. But check it out. It's Minecraft beta, both the single player and the multiplayer. really awesome. People are creating worlds. They've been doing it for years. So check it out.
The Shameless Plug.
I, as usual, have a little shameless plug in getting things back to CantCon. If you can't make CantCon, that doesn't mean you can't help support it. Actually, if you go to the CantCon website, on the right-hand side of the page, scroll down, there's a little bar with a bunch of little sort of rotating CantCon and also Gamers Haven merchandise that you can go buy. We actually have a Zazzle store at zazzle.com/terrestrialboy. That's TerrestrialBoy. Go there and you can actually look at get some stuff from CantCon 09, CantCon 2010, and of course this year CantCon 2011, and of course your general Gamers Haven merchandise. Get lots of cool shirts. They generally cost about $16 a pop. We get a little tiny percentage of what goes through there. So if you guys want some CantCon stuff, we got mugs, we got buttons, we of course got all colors of shirts that Zazzle offers. Postcards, iPhone cases, tote bags, keychains, ties, magnets, dark shirts, all that crazy stuff, barbecue aprons.
Definitely check out the mugs.
Yes, the mugs are actually really cool, and I've gotten a couple of the shirts, and the shirts are really good quality. So you can also get stuff for your pets and for your children.
Oh,
so, you know, and of course a big trucker hat. So, you know.
Oh God, where's my buff bag?
Who would want a giant trucker hat? Can't come to Gamers Haven, really. So hit that. The other thing I've got really quick going on is with obviously still my stuff at RPG Now is still available, plus that's the super-powered stuff is still up there and whatnot. So any of that, of course, helps support CantCon and helps us basically get a good show going. So that's what I got. We'll be back right after this. All right. I am sitting here with a one of our benefactors for CantCon this year. I'm sitting here with Angela. Why don't you tell us who you are?
My name is Angela Robertson. I'm a gamer.
No? Well, that sort of goes without saying, you know. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how, since this is obviously for CantCon, big gaming convention. Awesome. The best gaming convention ever.
The best, yes. I agree.
How did you get into gaming in general? I mean, what got you into the hobby, first of all?
You know, I actually thought that this sort of question might be coming, and I was trying to think.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot recall for sure. To be honest, the first thing I remember about any sort of role-playing type gaming thing out there was the movie Mazes and Monsters. remember?
That's the one with Tom Hanks, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I've actually never
that's
seen
like
it.
That's like from junior high. I don't remember anything really about the movie other than they're playing this cool game, and oh my gosh, are there people who really
it's sort of based on the whole Steam Tunnels, Dungeons and Dragons thing that went on.
Yeah, it was kind of dorky, but I didn't know anybody playing until college. Mm-hmm. I played a little bit with some guys in college. And then my college years were split. My first 2 years I went to Mid-America, and then I went away to KU. So I played with a couple of guys at Mid-America, and then when I went to KU, I lost my kind of gaming contacts and was out of touch for a while until I was working at Sprint and hooked up with a guy who actually had published a couple of small things.
Nice.
And he got me back into it, and I've been gaming ever since.
Cool. Well, that sort of brings us into why, you know, your history as a gamer. How did you find out about CantCon last year?
I got a postcard of the Gamers Haven podcast from Tabletop.
Okay.
Our friendly local gaming store.
Our awesome local gaming store.
And
we shamelessly plug it each episode. It's okay.
So I checked out your website, and there was this thing about CanCon, and I'm like, oh, hey. That's all she wrote there.
Excellent, excellent. And you obviously had a good experience last year, which definitely makes me happy.
Well, actually, and that's a big part of the system, or my story, I guess you should say, because I've always been a firm believer in if you want a good convention to happen, you have to help make it happen.
Right.
And so anytime I hear about anything happening, I try to get involved and I try to make it good. Actually, it was before last year. It was the Thanksgiving. So this would have been 09.
Right.
I tried to get involved with Kansas City Game Fair.
The Kansas Game Fair, which used to be... Well, it's like a combination of like Sean Conn and it's a bunch of different things that combined.
They combined, which I thought was cool. I thought it was good. At least it seemed like it was going to be good. I was very frustrated with my experience there. I didn't get a lot of feedback. I kept trying to contact their website was kind of hard to maneuver.
I
couldn't work with those people, you know.
Yeah.
And
I pre-registered to go to Sean Conn twice. And didn't manage to actually get out there. And it's just because of what it is. It's the weekend before Thanksgiving, and I'm full-time in school, and I can, for me, that's crunch time for projects and all that. Probably. And I was just like, I can't do it.
Well, it was, I don't know, it felt a little clicky when I actually went there to play.
I've run into that a lot.
I had some good experience, but I still would like to go back at some point. I didn't make it this last year because they moved out to Never Never Land.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then I thought, okay, here's another chance. CanCon, another opportunity. If I want to make it happen, I got to get involved. And it's like totally opposite experience. You were very extremely welcome in opening. And hey, you want to be involved, do whatever. And your website is much more organized and just, you know. So that kind of experience was like, okay, we can make this happen. And then, of course, I show up and it was awesome. So, you know. It didn't have that cliquish feel. Everybody was there to game and have fun. And it was always like, you want to join? You know, we're playing this game or whatever. It didn't feel like, oh, well, you know, we have this thing that we do. kind of, I don't know.
Well, I know some people go to conventions, and I've seen it in some of the pre-regs for CanCon, is that they bring in three or four friends who pre-reg, and then they all register for the same games. Well, that's all nice and good and fun. I like to go and play different stuff.
I actually harp on some of my friends. I'm like, okay, I get to play with you guys all the time.
Yes.
I want to go here and play with other people. And they're like, oh, okay. So like at Gen Con this year, I actually told them, I said, I have a secret event. I'm going to play it. I'm not telling you what it is so you can't come.
That was one of my main goals behind CanCon, too, so I'm glad we scored there.
I feel like it's working so far.
So obviously, you also sort of go, my next question was going to be, why'd you choose to support CanCon this year? Because you supported it last year, you know, you ran a few events, and you helped out at registration, and you have much more going on responsibility-wise this year. I mean, you're doing...
Well, again, like I said... I'm a firm believer that if I want to make it happen, I have to help make it happen. And so last year it was just kind of like, okay, let's test the waters. Let's see how it goes.
Sure.
Find out what kind of person you are and what needs to be done. See, even though I want to help make it happen, I don't want to be stepping on your toes.
Sure.
This is kind of your baby, sort of. Sure. So, but
I've done my best to delegate a lot this year. I'm so glad I did.
Well, it seems, from what I can tell from the outside looking in, you guys are doing a great job, and it's almost running itself. I mean, it doesn't feel like there's
and
a lot
for
to
our
it.
Listeners who don't know, Angela is the one who put together the PDF catalog. I also put together our flyers. So, I mean, if you went out and saw those flyers anywhere, it's entirely because of Angela, and I thought they looked great, so...
It's one of those things that I kind of like to do every now and throw together.
You've done also been booking it all over town, posting flyers for us. I mean, I've had tons of people doing that, and you know, I smile when I walk into the Half-Price bookstore in Lawrence, and they had a flyer up on their front desk. I was like, hey, I know that thing.
Good. That's good. Yes, trying to get exposure.
Yes, and that's a lot of fun. And it always sort of amazes me I want to know how people found out about it. Because, you know, I mean, I need to know what works and what doesn't work. And right. I think the flyers are just doing great. So.
Yeah.
What is your favorite game that you play right now?
That I play right now?
Yeah, that you play right now.
See, if I have friends who listen, I can't pick one game over another. I'm enjoying.
We can make it more broad. What games do you like to play?
Oh, well, there are very few games that I've played that I haven't liked mm-hmm. for certain things. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of game systems, they have a kind of a feel, a setting, or an emotion strong point. And so, you know, if I'm in the mood for horror, I want to play Dread. Or, you know, if I'm in the mood for epic space, I'll play Star Wars Saga. If I want, you know, regular fantasy, then D&D does it for me. So,
and, I mean, you show basically introduced me to Dread last year. I think I'd heard of it like distantly, and mm-hmm. then I saw it last year, and I ended up getting a copy of it.
Well, again, so. I have to give props to my friend Matt Hare because he introduced us to that. He does a Halloween thing every year, and he picks different games, and he picked that one year. And I was, at first, yeah, I was very skeptical. Mm. I was like, Jenga, oh, come on. You gotta have dice and role-playing.
And last year, I was watching you guys, and I was sitting watching you guys play, and I could feel the tension.
Exactly.
This is like, you're sitting there just going, oh, he has to take two pulls from it? Ugh. Yeah, it's a brilliant mechanic.
Yeah, I do like it. I mean, it's something I don't think... I think it would get old very quickly if you were doing it on a regular basis.
Right.
But
there are some games that lend themselves to convention play or lend themselves to one-shots, and that's definitely one of them.
Yeah.
That's definitely one of them.
And
you ran it at CanCon last year. I think you're running another
one
this year.
Another one this year, and I saw that Nathan Pankey,
who was in your Dread last year, who I'm sure picked up the game because of it, is running one this year.
I'm really excited to see that.
So I think there are two Dread events then.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're both are sold out or darn close to it at this point. And speaking of Matt Harrop's running several mm-hmm. things too.
He's running, yes. I've helped him with... those are two of his previous Halloween adventures.
So. Hey, you know. But he's doing All Flesh Must Be Eaten,
mm-hmm. Warhammer.
You know, Warhammer 40K, Dark Heresy game.
Dark Heresy, that's right.
I think mm-hmm. that's what he's doing. Yep. I can't remember. But yeah, it's good stuff. I actually know new Matt. My brother knew Matt way back in college. So
that's what he
when
was
he was
saying,
part too. Of Epitaph.
Oh, yeah, that's the...
Years ago.
Yeah. Back when
so I knew a bunch of those first. Guys. So yes, interesting how small the gaming community is, but how large it is too.
Yeah. Well, it's growing.
So you'd say some of your favorite stuff that you get to play.
Well, what I'm playing right now, I'm in a regular D&D 4th edition game that Matt's actually running.
Hopefully this year, this year we actually have some 4th edition being run.
I saw that.
And, you know, hopefully this year we don't have this whole anti-4th edition thing going on, which...
I don't understand. I mean, okay, granted, I too, when I first heard about 4th edition and mm-hmm. read some of the rules, I was skeptical.
Yeah, my knee-jerk reaction was... Ugh.
Yeah, but once you get used to it, it plays like any other D&D game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And it's got pros and cons like any other edition. And
yeah, it's a different kind of game from 3.5. And
right.
The beauty of it now, as we try to point out on the podcast all the time, is you have all these choices for D&D now. You can still go play first edition. It's out of Zosrick, you know. You can still go play second edition. You can still play third edition, fourth edition. Just play the game.
Right.
You can play whatever flavor you want.
Right.
So, yeah.
But I'm having fun with that. And he's doing a great job at running us from first all the way to 30th level. So get to see the whole gamut.
Nice.
Then on Thursdays, I'm in a Star Wars Saga.
I've not yet been able to play Saga.
It's, well, I mean, you can see the genesis of where 4th edition came from.
Yes. I've got the rulebook, and it really sort of struck me as, 3.75.
Yes, that's what a lot of people have called it. And so there are good things about it, but you can also see where it needed, the growth that 4th edition has. So it has some problems. But anyway, it's fun. It's fun for that setting. And then I'm running a 4th edition group for my cousin and a couple of friends on Sundays.
Cool.
So I'm in three groups. Well, actually, technically there's a fourth group, but that guy only runs like once every 2 or 3 months, so.
Excellent. Well, looking more back into the past of the games that you've played in, are there any gems that you love from days of yore?
Okay, well, my first love was Alternity. Actually,
I remember when that came out.
At my heart, I'm a science fiction lover, and I prefer science fiction games, and that was a lot of fun. And I was running it though there at the very end when then TSR finally died out, and then when WotC took it over, they killed the line, and
and it was it based on second ed rules or?
No, it was its own rule set, and it was. It's kind of similar to Cortex, and that you use your different dies as modifiers. So like you're rolling a d20 plus a d12 or minus a d12, different. They call them die steps, and in Alternity, actually, you always wanted to roll low. You were going under a target number, so a 1 was a crit instead of a 20, and a 20 was a ultimate failure. So, so that was my first love. Since then, the next I think big thing that I got really excited about was the first time I played a Burning Wheel demo with Luke Crane at Gen Con.
Oh yeah,
this is probably 5 years ago now.
I can't con too. I've never played it. So.
Yeah, well, the thing is it's. Okay, I played in this demo, and of course, playing with the creator of the game, you're going to probably get an experience that's hard to reproduce.
Sure.
I just fell in love with the concept of Burning Wheel has this whole beliefs system, and your instincts, which I had never heard of anything quite like that before. And plus, it had this system called Duel of Wits, which was all about combat, verbal combat.
Yeah.
So you're
when people talk about it, they say Duel of Wits, and I'm like, I have no idea what that means. So okay.
It's basically a way of dice rolling a debate between two characters. So instead of using swords, you're using speech, and I just fell in love with that concept. And then so I bought the book, and the book is a little overwhelming. The rules are a little crunchy at the core. I mean, when I played the demo, it felt easy and quick, and then I got into the rules, and it was just daunting. So I haven't actually ever run it or played much since. But I try to modify when I run games. I'm adding beliefs and instincts on the side and doing all this little stuff, things that I've learned from that game, trying to carry them over. So
cool. Well, in your days of gaming, of course, do any games stand out as particularly ones that you abhor or can't stand, or dread the word hate?
I can't. None pop to mind, really. I have this weird relationship with Call of Cthulhu, actually, because.
You gotta get a good GM for that.
Yeah, you have to. Well, you have to have the right kind of.
And really, the right.
Inset there's similar to D&D. There's a bunch of different versions of Call of Cthulhu, and the original one just didn't really do it for me. But I've played
like 7th edition, 7.15.
The trailer Cthulhu or whatever seemed a little more appealing. Let's see, what else?
They got Trail of Cthulhu, Realms of Cthulhu.
I played GURPS for a while, and that was okay. But that just feels like it's just so open. It's just so generic, which, is good and bad. I don't don't know. No, I can't think of any.
Well, you've been gaming a while. What is your, not necessarily what's your favorite game type of thing, but what is what turns you on creatively in a game? I mean, what is it you like about what turns you on creatively in a game? That's really the best way to
think. I think I enjoy seeing it when players are sitting there torn between what do I do? And it's a decision that, you know, kind of defines their character kind of thing. Again, this was something I was introduced to with Burning Wheel when I got to see this demo scenario that was designed in such a way that you've got these characters really struggling with, oh, you know, I love my mother, but she betrayed the family, or, you know, whatever kind of things, and you're role-playing this out and interacting with other people, and it's just awesome to see people struggling with that in their mind, and then seeing them creatively put that together. I don't know, so.
Mm-hmm. So let's flip the table. What turns you off creatively in a game? What do you not enjoy?
I really have gotten I shouldn't say that turns me off, because I still can do dungeon delves and actually
kick in the door.
Yeah, you kill the monster type of thing. I have come back. There was a period of time where I couldn't stand it, but I've come back around, and I've decided you have to view that almost as a different game. It becomes more of a tactical, almost just a tactical miniatures game at that point, versus true.
Especially in the latest editions, third ed, fourth ed.
Yeah, which, you know, again, there are times when I like that, but but I get bored with that tactical, straight up plain old combat after a while.
Okay. So. And now we're down to the last six questions that were passed on to me by the great James Lipton. What sound or noise do you love?
Do we have to do these Lipton questions? Alright, let me see if I can do this seriously. Sound or noise?
That sound?
I to be honest, I'm not much of a dog person. I like hearing cats purr.
Alrighty.
So there you go.
Alright, what's your favorite curse word?
I try not to curse. But, I don't know. Because when I end up resorting to something like that, it's usually something stupid or basic. I see. These questions are so hard. I have no idea. So I'm going to...
All right, you're going to pass.
Pass.
What game would you like to attempt that you have not attempted in the past? Is there a game out there that you want to play? Or run?
Well, someday... See, and I told you about how Alternity was my first love. I started building my own campaign, my own game. And I got a few months into that before life and work or whatever made it impossible. So I keep talking about, okay, someday I'm gonna play my science fiction game, but, you know, Alternity's dead, so I gotta find some other system. So right now I'm looking at using Cortex Plus, possibly, or the, what was my second choice for that? I can't even remember. And I've not played that very much. So Cortex, I guess I would say.
Alright, cool. Is there a game out there that you, under no circumstances, would you like to attempt? Ever?
Something where you had to be a furry.
Okay. And finally, if heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
I don't really believe in heaven, but if something like that really did happen to me, I would love to hear him say, "Roll initiative."
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you very much, Angela, for your support of
CampCon. I hope that was educational in some way.
Random Encounters.
back, and we do have some random encounters to go over real quick today.
As my wife eats a root beer float.
Yes, as Becca's taunting Nathan with a root beer float. We've got two new additions to our Minion map, and as we always love having more additions to the Minion map, we've got RJ Joyce, someone who I have met at CanCon, last year. Is on the map now, coming out of course, Kansas City. We also got in just the other day a Blue Fox, or B-I-U-E Fox. I think you may have had a typo, but hey, you know, for the love of gaming. And he's coming to us from just south of Washington, D.C., so I want to give shout-outs to our illustrious fans out that way. Got an email from Jeffrey Wynn, who just had a quick question about the equipment, wondering what hardware and software we use to record our actual play podcasts. We use a for the actual play stuff, we use a Olympus digital voice recorder. I believe the one I use is a V5200. But you can use really any of the Olympus voice recorders. I say Olympus because that's the one I've used, and it's really been really done a really good job. So that's what I would suggest using if you're going to do any actual play recordings. Now, the software I use to edit is an old program called Cool Edit Pro, which became Adobe Audition, which became Adobe Soundbooth. So,
and Soundbooth is complex as hell.
Yes. So this is it's an early version of that. But you can also get a free software on the internet called Audacity, which really works well for editing and whatnot, if that's what you're wanting. I also use Format Factory, which is a free program off the interwebs that will format multiple files for me to the right bandwidth, right the right speed that I want it to be. So the other thing I want to go into real quick is Jeremy basically pointed us to the guys over at what's the name of that setting that Kickstarter campaign setting.
One moment.
Age of Lords.
Age of Lords, but it's there's a specific name for the company. It's Blackburn Publishing.
Okay, Blackburn Publishing. Well, back when we did our last show, we sort of gave them a little shout out. We put a little icon up on their site, and I forget what they were sitting at. Their goal was $800.
They were not at $800.
Yeah, they were like at $255. Yeah, they're like at $255. But now, as of today, they're at $1,225 with 5 days left to go on their funding, so they're completely funded.
Awesome.
And Gamers Haven is actually helping to fund that through Jeremy.
Yes. Jeff Gupton, the guy who is running that, sent us a message, said, thanks, you guys did help, and I appreciate that, and there will be a spot on the special thanks list for you guys in the book, so... I'd like to think that Gamers Haven did a little to get that off the ground and get that going. So
I'm glad we were able to help.
By the time you hear this, you won't be able to support it much anymore. But hey, you can sure as heck buy it when it comes out. It comes out. But that's it for the our random encounters that we've got going on today. So. Long in the tooth bit in the show, but that's what we got, and that's all she wrote. So unless you guys got anything else?
No. Nothing I can think of. I can't think of anything that we really need to add.
No. All right. Well, we will see you guys next time when we probably will be talking a bit about post-CantCon stuff, but probably come up with some other topics.
Actually, the next time that we meet, would be that Friday of CantCon.
Yeah, we're...
So...
Well, yeah, probably the next episode of the show you'll be listening will be the CantCon Awards.
Yeah.
So you'll hear the CantCon Awards is, of course, the awards, the illustrious awards ceremony where we present the finest and cheap plastic trophies to our wonderful winners.
The Queen or the King of Bitching again. I think I still hold the highest place for that. Well, yep. No. Well, there is.
Yes, King of Pitching.
Yeah, there might be a person that might dethrone me this year.
I believe it's your title at this point. So,
yeah, maybe, but you know, there is someone who did a lot more bitching this year than I have actually. surprisingly. Actually, I haven't done a lot of bitching this year.
Huh.
I've done a lot of swearing at my dice this year.
You have been.
Because my dice hate me.
It's probably because of lack of module run 4th edition stuff.
Well, no. Well, that's not it. I mean, I complain about a lot of stuff, but yeah. The thing is, as I said, I still want to play in a 4th ed game that's not a module, just to see how it is. And I wanted so bad to get in on the Tracy's running a Dark Suns game.
No, it's not Tracy, it's Dr. Nathan.
Oh, it's Dr. Nathan? Yeah, he's running a Dark Sun game, and I just couldn't get into
it. I believe he put that together actually specifically to have to run you through it at some point. So
yeah. I so wanted to play in it, but I don't think...
Well, I'm sure we'll... Yeah, oh, no, it's run at the same time you're running your Rings of Saturn game.
Yeah. Take me away to the Rings of Saturn.
We'll hook up with Dr. Nathan and we'll have him run it, because I'd love to play in it, too.
Yeah.
But it's running at the same time my phone toy game.
Yeah.
But really, that's all she wrote for this episode. I want to thank you all, and tune in next time.
Yes, thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Gamers Haven Podcast. Subscribe to the show by visiting our website at gamershavenpodcast.com, where you can also discuss all things gaming in our forum, drop us an email, or just peruse our episode archives. You can also call us toll-free and leave a message to be played on the show by dialing 1-877-416-1270. That's toll-free, 877-416-1270. On our website, you'll also find our actual play podcasts chronicling our misadventures through all things role-playing. Enjoy what you hear? Why not support the Gamers Haven by purchasing Gamers Haven merchandise, visiting our affiliates, or just by clicking on our donate button? The Gamers Haven podcast is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial, Share Alike 3.0 United States license, some rights reserved. Some music in this podcast is used with permission of Joe Hero Band at joehero.com. This is a Thousand Monkeys production.
This concludes the broadcast from World Control.
That's not canon.